What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
What is up, people? This is You're Not Listening, the podcast that teaches you how to actively listen to music one song at a time. I'm Sean O'Loughlin. I'm your host, along with my dad, Jim O'Loughlin. And today we're talking about some absolute jams. As Jack Black would say, monster mamma jams. Although I'm not sure how he would feel about me using his terminology when talking about a Meghan Trainor song, but I don't know. I wonder what he'd say. Jack, if you're listening, let us know. Before we get into it, I want to remind you to follow us on all the stuffs on social media and send us your song stories. I'd love to hear how certain songs have impacted your life. So write that story up or pull out your phone and record it into your voice memo app and send it to notlistingpod@gmail.com. I'd love to hear those stories. Maybe we can share some of them on the show. Okay, let's get right into it. Today, I'm talking about All About That Bass by Meghan Trainor, and my dad is talking about What Becomes of the Brokenhearted by Jimmy Ruffin. Oh, such a good song. Seriously, if you don't know that song, or if you think that Meghan Trainor is just another bubblegum pop artist, then guys, you're not listening. So clean out your ears and listen up. Let's do this.
Get on the floor!
So, been tossing around this idea in my head.
Uh-oh.
For a new, like, side hustle thing.
Okay.
You ready?
Yep.
It's going to be huge. It's corduroy pillows. It's really going to make headlines.
Oh, jeez. I was going to ask you if you had a joke and stuff, and I was going to just tell you the one that I sent you today, but that's bad.
That one you sent was pretty good.
Yeah. Well, we want to use that some other time because I can't top that terrible one you just did.
It's really bad. Like, that one's really bad.
That's so bad.
Yeah.
Who are you? Whose son are you?
I stole that one, too. That one's bad.
Yeah. Well, they're all stolen. I hope you don't make them up. If you are, I'm cutting off right now.
Yeah, but I can't say I've made up any good ones that I'm particularly proud of.
I'm not good at telling jokes or making them up or anything like that, but I'm good at stealing them, you know. So,
The new booth is coming along.
Sounds good.
Yeah, it's getting there.
What are you missing? What do you need so you can kind of complete it?
Well, I still have plenty of moving blankets, so I'm going to make it a little bit bigger. But okay. I got to do something with the ceiling. I got to put some more panels and stuff up in the ceiling because up above me there's nothing. It's just wood and pink insulation.
If somebody walks by, you hear them?
Yeah, I get a stampede of rhinos whenever anyone walks through my kitchen right now because that's what's right above me. And I need some lights in here. Because it's pretty dark. I don't have none of the lights in my ceiling are within the walls of the booth that I made. So. Yeah.
Well, it's getting there, though. We'll get you closer.
Yeah, it's getting there. Order some more cheapo sound panels off Wish.com.
Yep. And did you like that area better that you moved it to?
Yeah, this is much
in the corner.
This is much easier to work in.
Okay.
For sure.
We can just do something to adjust the other area for your workshop stuff. So.
Yeah, that'll get there.
Down the road.
Yeah, for sure. So, what do you think of the last episode?
I liked it.
Did you know that song?
I did not.
Yeah, that's kind of a deep cut.
Yeah, I mean, I like, obviously, a lot of Gaslight stuff and Brian Fallon stuff, but I didn't know that song. I liked it, though.
Yeah, that's a Tom Waits song, and I have a feeling you wouldn't be too much into the Tom Waits version of that song.
I have Tom Waits, but I'm a little more familiar with his more kind of standard stuff, like Heart of Saturday Night and Jersey Girl and stuff, but I really didn't know that particular song. And I can imagine if he played it straight up to sound just like Tom Waits in his voice and stuff, which is really hard to do because Tom Waits has such a unique sound. I imagine Tom Waits' version is pretty good too.
Yeah, Tom Waits sounds like a mud monster trying to eat something.
Yep. The piano has been drinking. Yeah. A buddy of mine, huge Tom Waits fan, Brian Raymond, and he kind of turned me on to him when we were back in high school and early parts of college and stuff. And then, again, one of my favorite local bands did The Heart of Saturday Night. He used to do that in a live show. It was just like, what is that song? And if you don't know that song, that's a really good, like, good lyrics, good stuff. Mm.
Yeah, so. Tom Waits is cool. He's one of those people that's kind of all over the map. You know?
And everyone loves him. Everyone usually has some kind of influence.
Or they pretend that they know him and that they love him, yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, artists always say they...
He's a big influence for a lot of... I mean, he's kind of a rock icon or Americana icon.
Yeah.
So,
agreed.
Yeah. So it was short. It was quick. I didn't get too deep into it, but I thought that it was, you know, a fun story to tell and get to know me and my personal self a little bit.
The only danger with that is, does that mean we can't do any more Gaslight Anthem songs? Because I had one all lined up.
Oh, no. I got Gaslight Anthem. I got Horrible Crows. I got Brian Fallon.
All right.
There's plenty. We'll see plenty of Fallon songs in here for sure. But we also, you know, have plenty of time to get to all that stuff. So
exactly.
So why don't we do your song first? Because we did mine first last time.
Because you were missing me.
Yeah.
All right.
My heart is broken.
Yeah. Right. You're not a good liar. I never have been. So I found a song that I had always loved, and I wanted to make sure that I kind of got reacquainted with it. And the ironic thing was the original version, which is What Becomes of the Broken Hearted, a classic Motown song by Jimmy Ruffin. And that's a song that, whether you know it or not, you know it. Everyone knows the song, and everybody can probably sing along to it, no matter what age and genre and everything else. It's just one of those classic songs that will fall off the radio, and everyone seems to always know and like it. I got reintroduced to it, and fell in love with it all again from watching a documentary. So I'm excited to talk about the legacy and the song itself by Jimmy Ruffin, but also the backing vocals, the background music, and another version of it as well. So it's kind of a twofer for me.
Right.
I'm almost as excited to talk about this as I was Sly and the Family Stone, if you can believe that.
Awesome. I love this song. So let's go listen to it. And then, so if you are listening to this episode, go to the playlist on Spotify or click the link to watch the YouTube video. I think we'll probably just play one with just static picture so you can just listen to the song. But go listen to it and come back. We'll talk about it.
So what do you think? I know you've always loved that song anyway. But
I love this song. So when I was working at my last job.
In Boston?
Yeah. I had a lot of time to listen to a lot of music because I was alone in a basement fish lab for 8 hours a day.
Cave.
Yeah.
Cave.
And so I would pop the headphones in and just 8 hours straight of either podcasts or music. So I rediscovered this song during that time, and I reached out to my buddy Ozzy, who will be on this show at some point. I've already talked to him about coming on the show.
Nice. Shout out to Chris.
Yeah, his name is Chris Ferrara. He's a singer in Nashville.
Tremendous talent. Check him out, everybody.
Yeah, he was the singer in our band when we had a band about 10 years ago. You believe that was over 10 years ago, by the way?
Yeah.
And so he was our singer. So I reached out to him and I said, hey, man, listen, this song is awesome. I don't know what you're doing right now, but you should find a way to perform this song because I think it would really match up really well with your voice.
Was that after your band and when he was starting out on his own to do other things?
Yeah, yeah. He wasn't in Nashville yet. He was still in Boston, but he was touring with a cover band, like a party band and stuff.
I think it fits his style and everything else right away. He's got the range for this.
Yeah, he's got kind of this like country boy, good guy kind of thing going on, but he's also got some city boy swagger to him. So
soul.
The man's got soul. He's pretty versatile. I don't think I've ever given him this many compliments at once.
Yeah.
Don't get used to it, Oz. But I know he listens to the show. So what's up, brother? Miss you. Hope everything's going well. I'm excited for your wedding coming up.
I wish I was DJing your
wedding. Yeah, that'd be fun. But I do remember reaching out to him, and it was funny because I had just gotten dumped not too long before I said this to him, and it was completely unrelated, and I think he thought that I was just being like emo. But I was like, I love the song, and I think that I thought his voice would be really good. So if he's still up for that challenge, I would love to hear him sing this song at some point because I think the melody and the feel, the whole feel of this whole song matches up really well with his style. So
yeah. And it's not an easy song. I mean, it's not one that I think everybody could cover. It's one of those that's a very specialized kind of delivery that you'd have to have.
Yeah, you know why that is? I think that's because this song requires you or requires the singer to hold back. There's not big moments in this song.
Right, it's very balanced.
This song craves a key change.
Right.
Like this song feels, in a way, if you're a performer, I feel like it feels desperate for one of those big key changes where you go up. And you just
in every Broadway show in the third stanza kind of thing.
Yeah,
the third chorus,
exactly. Yeah. I mean, a lot of songs from this time,
and
this genre did that.
Yeah,
and I it feels like it craves that, but the entire thing is subdued and a little bit laid back, and it's very soulful.
Well, But it, I think because of the subject, it's probably done on purpose that way. It's such a heart-wrenching lyric that, I mean, it's an upbeat song. Everybody's like, oh, this is great. And everybody wants to sing the chorus. But if you listen like word by word, this is a terrible song.
Well, no, it's
not terrible.
It's relatable.
But this is right. Especially if you just got dumped. But it's one of those that I think I remember reading about it that they were originally going to do it. It was originally intended to be done by the Spinners. It was written for them. And Jimmy Ruffin, who was the older brother of David Ruffin, who was the lead singer of the Temptations,
said,
"Let me give it a shot." And I think it was. Because he was kind of living in the moment, and I don't know if it was something that he was heartbroken about something at all, but it was so believable the way he delivered it that it was a given that he was going to be the one to perform it, you know.
Yeah.
And the lyrics are just, you know, what do you do when you're this downhearted, and it's just, but you don't, anybody who knows it and who again, same reference, you know, you're singing it in your car, having it cranked while you're driving around. When you're singing the chorus, you're singing it almost in a happy way. And it's like, hey, it's kind of fun because it's got a really nice kind of soulful, but, you know, pretty upbeat melody and
I think
and rhythm.
It sounds pretty heart-wrenching.
But it's sad.
I think it
it's
sounds that way. Sad. I don't think of it as kind of an upbeat, happy Motown-y song. I mean, I think this song, there's a lot
of
emotion.
You're not going to dance to it, you know.
And, the words are just... I mean, I don't know who wrote the song.
Anguished.
This was written by a poet. I mean, the first line, as I walk this land of broken dreams, I have visions of many things. That's the setup for the song. And it's like, whoa.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Which again, if you think about some of the stuff that's early Motown, there wasn't a lot of deep lyrics like that. A lot of it was pretty surfacey and dancing and all that stuff. But this is deep, deep stuff right out of the gate, right from the beginning.
Yeah, for sure.
And it's not just the lyrics that, and I think one of the things I'm drawn to is the actual music and how it all builds. I mean, when you hear those first couple notes, first off, when you first hit it, if you know you're looking forward to listening to it for this purpose, it sounds very familiar, talking about some of the Motown stuff. It sounds very familiar to another song where it begins with a deep bass. Right. And again, same bass player, James Jamerson. I'm sure I probably played on this. But and then it just, it's such a deep melodic, like it's substantial right from the beginning. Horns kick in. You don't have to wait for the second or third chorus for the backup singers. They're right there. You know, I guess there was supposed to be like a, you know, a heartfelt, really anguished kind of statement or some verbal stuff that he was going to be saying before. And Lou Rawls used to always do that in the 60s and 70s. They were going to do something like that, but they cut it out, which is why I suppose it's a little longer intro than a lot of the Motown stuff usually is.
Yeah. But you just want to sing that in that deep.
Yeah, and it's big. Yeah, and it's big right from the beginning, you know. And there's not as many songs that kind of give me a little bit of a chill and goosebumps. Thinking about that and just what you just did, like the, you know, in the beginnings of the song, like that's when it kind of gets under my skin.
It
really makes
me
feel good.
The way that he delivers that very first line is. It's perfect.
Yes.
You know, as I walk this land of broken dreams, it's just the nearly, it's the perfect vibe. The perfect way that he sings it is like, it's really hard to describe. It's just very, very pleasant, but you feel the emotion in it from the get-go.
And I understand what you say about that. It just craves like, you know, to grow and grow, but it's not. It just kind of stays balanced and all. And again, they probably saw that he was the best one to deliver this because of the way he delivered this song.
Well, at the end of the chorus, you know, it feels like at the end of each chorus, actually, it sounds like it could just kick in to that key and go up a notch.
Yeah.
And then, but he draws it back. And he goes right back into the verse, which is on the same level as that first verse.
And yet right near the end, right about 2 minutes and 40 seconds or so, it kind of goes into that where it doesn't have that ending to the chorus. It's just, you know, I'll be searching. He just kind of continues. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, here it is. It's kicking up and everything else. But then it just fades out.
Well, it goes back into the chorus.
Right.
It goes back into the normal chorus.
It's kind of an interesting, thing. And, you know, from our point of view, you're welcome. It's not a 5 or 6 minute song. It's a 3 minute song.
Yeah, I know. So we've been picking some long songs lately.
Yeah.
Mine is short tonight, too, by the way.
Just because I'm deep, you know, so.
Well, no, I mean, this song is interesting. It, I can see why they fade out. I mean, a lot of Motown songs fade out. There's not a lot of hard finishes in Motown. But
right.
This song has a really fast fade out. Like,
It does.
It sounds like they probably sang it for another 3 minutes, but it fades out within four seconds. You know,
it's,
4 or 5
it's
seconds.
It's approaching 3 minutes, and that's not going to work with the Motown thing. Let's fade it out. Boom. It ends at 2:59. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just that relaxed feel through the whole thing.
And so it's one of those songs that I think resonates and keeps coming back. And again, one of the reasons I was reintroduced to it, fell in love with it, and then fell in love with it even more by the other singer who I saw do that on a video.
Mm-hmm. Who was it? Wasn't that like Joni Mitchell or
Joan Osborne?
Joan Osborne. Joan Osborne.
I'm going to talk about that in a second too. But there was a in '91, Paul Young did a cover of it. Now Paul Young at that point had some pretty big hits and stuff. He was singing from England. In fact, the a little bit of trivia is under Do They Know It's Christmas?
Yep.
He's the first singer that, if you don't know him, it's like, who is that guy? He's got a beautiful voice. It's Christmas.
Yeah,
time.
You know, I've never known who that is. And you can't get through an episode without talking about Christmas music, can you?
I'm sorry. No, sorry. I'm still in the mode. But it's Paul Young. And he had hit with it with from the movie Fried Green Tomatoes and stuff. But it was a number one, I think, on the adult contemporary here in the United States. Again, 91. And this came out in 66. So it always kind of keeps coming back. 2002, this video that came out, and I happened to see it a couple, 3 or 4 years ago when I rediscovered the video. And it's like, here it is again. And that's what kind of reminded me to think about this. So when going through the list of songs that I was trying to think of for this podcast, I was thinking like, oh, I want to do some Motown because I want to talk about the Funk Brothers. Which song? Because literally the Funk Brothers probably are...
They're Motown.
They have recorded, they have probably recorded well over 1,000 or 1,100 songs and almost all of them hits, but nobody knows them. So I want to kind of talk a little bit about that. Which Motown do you pick? There's so many and there's so many artists and everything else. I said, oh, this is going to be the perfect one.
Yeah.
So in 2002, they did a, I think it was two, maybe six, but I think it was 2002. They did a video called Standing in the Shadows of Motown. Have you seen this? Did I show you this one?
I have not seen all of it, but I definitely need to go back and finish it because I think I got interrupted when I was watching it and I missed the second half of it.
It's a tribute to the Funk Brothers. Now the Funk Brothers, for people who don't know, pretty much when you think about any of the Motown songs, you know Marvin Gaye and you know Stevie Wonder and you know the Temps and you know all the stuff, but all of those artists were the ones who were doing the vocals. They weren't playing the instruments. You know, the instruments and the vocal stuff was something was started almost, you know, maybe via Beatles, but a few other artists stuff. But with Motown, it was, you have this killer studio band of incredible musicians in a place they used to call a snake pit. And the reason they used to call it that is
because it was full of snakes.
Well, no, it's because of all the wires hanging from the ceilings that people would plug in. And they had literally hundreds of musicians that would come in and have different kind of, combinations. And I mean, they had a really strong initial group that is just known for every one of the Motown songs almost. And they would just like kill it with the music. And then so and so would come on in and boom, record Heat Wave, you know, by Martha Reeves. So, and all of a sudden, boom, we can do My Girl by the Temps and boom, do Marvin Gaye and boom, Stevie Wonder and the Supreme, Eminem, everything. But it was always the Funk Brothers in the background. So this video, this documentary that came out, was all about them and building it. And there was still a couple of members who were alive and they were interviewing them and all. And, you know, they were really talented musicians, but they were just dedicated to their craft and they didn't need the recognition. But, you know, you get on the list and you'd be blown away at that song and this song and this song and this song. It goes on and on. Like I said, I don't think anybody really has a tally of it, but well over 1,000 or 1,100 songs that they all played on. And there were different groups all around the country. I mean, this is the style. It was the Wrecking Crew out in California that did that, all the Beach Boys stuff, and a lot of the hits out there. The Muscle Shoals stuff out of the center of the country, the Ottawa Power Horns. I mean, like all of these guys who were just playing, guys and girls who were just playing this killer music, and they were never ever recognized, you know, for years and years and still to this day. So as I'm watching this video, at the end of it, they do a nice compilation of, okay, let's get all these guys who, you know, the story's been about. They put them on a stage with a small audience, a little round stage. And they do, you know, like Bootsy Collins comes in and does a song. You know, he's the crazy guy from Parliament,
right,
and stuff.
Right, yep.
and some other people. But then Joan Osborne comes in. First, she does Heat Wave, which is a really good version. You know, do, sometimes I stay in space, you know, really good version stuff. Like, well, that's a pretty good voice. And everybody knows Joan Osborne from, she's had a couple of hits and stuff of, if God was one of us, that's Joan Osborne. And, but then,
which is a whole other conversation. What if God was one of us?
Right, right.
That's another podcast.
Sitting on the bus. But at the end, it might have even been the final song of the evening. And again, it's showcasing all the plays and stuff. They did this song. And it literally is one of those that if when you're watching it, you have to stop everything and just your eyes will be bugging out and your jaw will be dropped of how good she is. And it kicks, talk about kicking into another level and another, you know, to bring it up a notch. She does that in hers too. So if there's ever going to be a time we can go back and either listen to it, her version, or if you can put that on there, Joan Osborne playing with the Funk Brothers playing this song, will explode your head.
Yeah, I'll link to that video in the show notes. So
it's crazy. It's crazy. And she, then I, of course, you know, as you do, you go down a rabbit hole. She's also got this killer song that, that I found, you know, besides her hit and her hits and stuff. I challenge you and I want you to go check this out, Sean. Shake Your Hips is the name of the song. It is like down home, right at the beginning, like of like John Lee Hooker and Howlin' Wolf, you know, her and a harmonica. And it just, this rocks. If there's ever going to be something called a bond burner, it's it.
Yeah,
that's
really.
Someone said in one of the comments in the YouTube video. It's unbelievable. It's like, that's where she gets the chops from. Because I'm thinking like, why her? With all the singers that are out there, especially, you know, some of the singers that probably had a connection with Motown, why do they bring back her to do some of these really iconic songs? And now you know why, because some of the other stuff that she's had in her repertoire in the past have just been unbelievable. So found, I love this song always, but found it again via Paul Young in 91, via Joan Osborne with the Funk Brothers, who I love, love, love the idea of the Funk Brothers and, you know, all the things they've done, and the lack of recognition, I think, is just a shame. And people who know music know Motown, know about the Funk Brothers, but the other 85 to 90% of the people who know anything about Motown don't even know who they are.
Right.
Great, great, great documentary, Standing in the Shadows of Motown. Standing in the Shadows of Motown. Go check it out. You will not be disappointed. Good one. So that's my favorite, one of my favorite Motown songs.
Yeah.
And ironically, DJing-wise, I could never play it.
You can't play this. There's no reason to.
It's a heartbreaker. Yeah, and it's not one that you can play to get everybody slow dance to, because they'll be crying or breaking up at the end of it.
Yeah, and you can't play it for dinner because someone will pick up on it and be like, this is probably not a great song to be playing at a wedding.
Yeah, there's some songs you can never play at a wedding.
But you know what? It's a great song to listen to when you're just relaxing, driving in the car. Obviously, it's a good song. Just like all these, to put a good pair of headphones on, but it's one of those songs where maybe driving in the car is not the best place to play it, because it's one of those songs that is really, you know, what you want to do is you want to close your eyes.
Yeah.
You want to close your eyes. You want to make that Motown soul face and just bounce and jam along to it.
Nice face. Okay. I know what you're saying.
You know what I'm saying. And it's just, it's,
and sing the chorus loud.
Yeah. It's just a pleasant listen. I mean, what is it? What are the finer details that you love?
It's just so soulful. I mean, when you get a song like three or four notes in that just has that kind of depth and that kind of substance, it's deal. Wow, this is going to be good, even before you hear one note. And then right away, when you have the background vocals and the horns, it's not like it builds and it's like it hits you right out of it. But then it doesn't go high and low, like you said. It's just, it's right there, right in the groove the whole time.
Right.
And it's over.
You know what I love?
I love the chorus. I love singing.
Well, I was going to say, I love the line that leads up to the chorus, how they always have those big hits before the chorus. Bom, 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 bom.
Yeah.
What becomes, like, you know, filled with sadness and confusion. What becomes. And it's just like those four strong beats, they just lead into the chorus really nicely. Yep. It's just a really nice blend, and they did a really good job with that. Absolutely.
And again, if you don't know it, it's like, okay, this is gonna go, and it doesn't. It's like, okay, it's building with those four beats, and then the chorus is just kind of chill, and then it goes into the next verse and stuff.
Yeah,
I think it's just well structured, and I like it right from the beginning. It doesn't apologize. It doesn't kind of wake you up slowly and stuff. It's like right there, and it's such substance.
Certain songs are made for a reason, and this song is made for a reason. This song is made out of a lot of emotion, and you know, emotion that everyone has been through. Yeah, and just straight anguish, and it is written with a purpose to just get that out. And
I think it probably resonated with him, so that which is why he didn't have to make it up. It was there.
And you feel that. And you know, I think anyone who is going through that in the moment, like if you are going through that right now, I would recommend listening to this song, because it makes you feel better to know that someone else is going through that same thing. And so it's like it's just one of those things that it's damn near perfect for what it's intended. And it's just beautiful to listen to, and I just love listening to it.
And it's one of those that if you're someone like me, with mom or anybody in a car, you know, sometimes I get to the point where I get a little antsy with music, and I'm always searching, like, oh, I don't like the song, oh, I don't like the song.
Right, musical ADD, I hear that.
Yeah, I would never, and I bet most people would not, when they hear the beginning chords of this, wouldn't ever shy away from this. They wouldn't change the channel.
Yeah.
Because it's like, it's familiar, but it's also so good. And the music is just there, just kind of grabs you right from the start. But then it's over. It's not one that goes on forever and ever and ever.
So, awesome.
What do you like about it? Because I know this has always been one of your favorites as well.
I love the melody in this. The melody of the verse. The chorus is, it's a little flat for me. It's just kind of, it's nice, but what really shines in this for me is that melody of the verse that, you know, do 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 do, and it's, you know, it's the same as the chorus, but there's something about the way that he sings that verse is just really, it just gets to me. You know, I just really, really love it. And it's similar to when we listen, you know, when we listen to the Tom Petty song, and, you know, it's that melody that I just love because of the structure and just the way that they put the notes together. And then, you know, the dynamics of it are just so spot on that I just really, I just think it's just really super pleasant, but it has a bounce to it that kind of makes you want to bob your head. So it's not just pretty for the sake of being pretty, you know, it's not boring either.
And I think it's a perfect showcase of what Motown was. Motown wasn't just dance music, four guys doing the same moves and all that stuff. The music really has some substance.
Right. There's more than the Temptations.
And it has some soul. And it's something that really hits deep with a lot of people. And if you look at the lyrics for a lot of different artists, you know, it's not just fun. Let's go and dance to it at the clubs. It really has some depth to it.
And this song does have some redemption at the end. You know, when he's fading out, you know, I'll be searching everywhere. I know everywhere. I'm going to find it. Like, it's a little bit of like, all right, this sucks. Like,
give me another chorus.
Right, right.
Give me another
chorus. It's one of those things where it's like, you know, by the end, he's saying like, you know, someone's out there. I'm going to find it.
And I'm
going to be all right. Yeah. I just need, I'm down in the pits right now. I'm going to be better, but, you know, I need to work through it. And that's kind of the messages that it sends. And it's a sad song with a positive feel and a positive message. It's cool.
And think about the image of it where, again, these guys, the Funk Brothers, playing in this basement, I think it was a converted garage studio, four or five steps down, you walk down into it, there's a mic for the vocal stuff. They're all around with cords everywhere, just feel, and I'm guessing, you know, guessing back in the 60s, cigarette smoke everywhere. It's just this whole image. And all of a sudden, like, boom, and probably laid down the first verse, first time. Okay, we got it. Next song. Bring Stevie Wonder in. Okay, sure. Bring Martha Reeves in. Okay, yeah. Let's do so and so next. Like, that's what it was all about.
Before this next song, maybe I'll, you know, pay tribute to our Lord and Savior Carole King.
Yes. Who just had unbelievable amount of the hits.
Yeah,
too.
That's a different podcast. Yeah.
The songwriters that would just hand off these tremendous songs to other artists and just say, okay, that's fine. I'll just play background vocals and I'll go there. Yep. And then what are you known for? Well, I'm known for the bass line in My Girl. Who doesn't know that? Like, okay, everyone knows that. Who's it by? No one knows.
Yeah.
Well, I know, but, you know, other people. So it's cool. That's one of the things. So I wanted to bring it together with the song itself, with Jimmy Ruffin and with the Funk Brothers. And then most of all, talk about like just bring it to another level and loving the version. Go listen to Joan Osborne.
Yeah.
The Paul Young is pretty straight up. That's not going to be any different, but the Joan Osborne version is unbelievable.
Yeah, it really is. I agree with you there. It really is.
And it's live. So it captures that as well. So I was happy to find it again via that way. And that's what I want to have a conversation about tonight.
Awesome.
Cool.
Well done. I love it.
Thank you. I was excited about that one.
Hey, this is Kenny with Earfloss, a music history podcast. Earfloss is a bi-weekly music history podcast where each episode, me and a co-host, usually Natalia, take an in-depth look at a different band or musician from all genres and all times. We go into their life, their career, their history, and we talk about their music. You can find Earfloss on CastBox at castbox.fm or wherever you listen to podcasts. Can't wait for you guys to hear it. Check it out. Earfloss, a music history podcast.
So, my song is, we're not going to talk about my song nearly as long as we talked about yours.
Okay, I'm sorry.
My song is...
I was making up for that last week, that's why. So.
I mean, my song is a bubblegum pop song that's all about positive body image and the booty.
And the bass.
It's all about the booty. It's all about that bass. That's literally the song that I'm talking about. All about that bass by Meghan Trainor. This song came out in 2014, and to me, it was another bubblegum pop song that I didn't really care for, and only heard maybe twice, and then didn't bother listening whenever it came on the radio.
Middle school and elementary school dances.
So a week or so ago, came across this video, this kind of clickbaity link that was going around Facebook, and I clicked on it, and it was a video of Meghan Trainor. I shared it on the You're Not Listening Facebook page.
And Jimmy Fallon?
No, it was Meghan Trainor at a radio station.
Okay.
And they wanted to see if she could sing this song over a Billie Eilish song.
And so
they
talented.
Played, I think it was Bad Guy by Billie Eilish, which is actually on my list to talk about on this show. And she just started performing, just sitting on the broadcast mic. And she just kind of like listened to the beat for a few minutes and then she just spit it. And you know the movie Dodgeball?
Yes.
When the team comes out and they're in the, like all of the bondage outfits.
Not tonight, and
everybody goes silent. And that character, who's that actor?
What's I don't know. Name? He's hilarious though.
Everyone's just staring and he just goes, "That's rad." So I was watching this video of Meghan Trainor doing that and I just kind of looked at it and I was like, "That's rad." That was kind of cool. This girl's got something going on.
There's your title for this episode.
Yeah, that's rad. But she's
a true talent.
Girl's got talent.
Yeah,
for sure. And you wouldn't know it if you think of her just kind of as a studio produced pop star. But the girl's she's young and she's got a lot of talent.
Yeah.
And so I went back and I listened to this song. I sat down in my car. And I played it, and I went, "That's rad." This is a cool song.
I have to say it's one that I liked. And you know, she had another couple of his stuff. If you're talking, you're lying, or something like that. I mean, and a lot of it is about positivity with women and stuff, which I'm huge about. I want to make sure that that's going to be something we get out there.
Yep.
And I like her too. And local girl, Nantucket. You know, she's from the island. And I saw her with it wasn't Fallon. It was what's the other guy who does the Kapu karaoke?
James Corden.
James Corden. He did a thing about we're not about the resolutions, you know, for New Year's Eve resolutions, stuff like this. And it was a spoof, but it was too, you know, all about the bass kind of stuff.
This song,
it's fun. She also I found CMT and MT on MTV where they take a country music star and a contemporary artist and they sing each other's songs and they pick one cover each and they do a concert.
Oh, cool.
And she was on doing that, and again, talent. I can't remember who she was with. She was with a country artist, and it's one of those that whoa, this is stuff that's going to be. And I've all of a sudden become obsessed with the Crossroads program on CMT because of that. And she was one of the weeks that they had a very very talented, and just on like you said, on the spot can just kick it into another gear and pick up in a very different genre of music. But again, not too different because it's all about blending the different parts of it.
Yeah.
She's
all right. Well,
good.
But before we go too far, let's listen
she's
to
good.
It.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We haven't listened to it yet.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Let's go.
I guess we didn't.
Yeah. Go to the playlist or click the link in the show notes and listen to it. We'll come back. We'll talk about it.
That was rad.
That's rad.
That's rad.
Isn't it rad? It is, though.
Yeah, it isn't. And it's, yeah. I have to do a disclaimer. It's whenever I played it, I always had a cleaner version of the original and stuff, and it's going to be a little weird having a conversation about this stuff with my son.
Why?
Well, I don't want to be talking about booties and other things with my son.
It's skinny,
yeah,
bitches.
Right. I'm like, but no, really, really good, really fun,
really good song. And if you watch the video, it's just such a happy and jubilant feeling around that whole video. It's so many colors, and the dancing is phenomenal,
especially with that guy.
I was gonna say the guy in that video, he steals the show. That guy can move.
Yep. And he especially did a split at the end. Oh man.
Yeah, that guy can move. Very cool. It's funny. Because
part of it, though, is it's a message. So,
yeah, it's a great message. I think she's gotten a little flack for being a little too body positive when it comes to, like, you know, you still got to, like, take care of yourself and be healthy. But
yeah.
I think that's just people looking for something to complain about, really.
Yep.
So
welcome to Twitter.
Yeah, exactly. And so this song is cool because it's not just a pop song. There's, like, so many different influences in here that are all really subtle. If you look, I mean, her voice sounds like she's like a Caribbean singer sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
She's got that kind of Caribbean accent with some of the phrases
she
makes.
Well, I think it's polished up by the studio as well. There's a little bit of that.
Yeah, but I think it's the way she pronounces certain words
come
out that way, which lends itself to that kind of Caribbean tone, which is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
You hear a lot of that in pop music now. That sound with female pop artists is very common with songs that are out now, particularly with the way that they pronounce the long O sound. I don't know if you've noticed that.
Give me an example.
For instance, when she says the word booty,
mm-hmm.
she doesn't say booty. She says booty. It's like you got to open up your mouth. Boo. You know?
Okay.
The way that they use that long O sound is really, you hear that in a lot of pop songs now. They're saying the very wide long O sound instead of kind of a more pursed lips. It's interesting, and that gives you that kind of islandy sound a little bit. But I was looking it up because I'm like, there's so many different things in here, and Wikipedia has it's got a whole section about composition and lyrical interpretation for this song.
Okay,
and I'm just going to kind of run through some of the stuff that it says here, because it's stuff that I was thinking, but I was like, am I just looking way too far into this, or it kind of legitimizes some of the thoughts that I had, which makes me feel a little bit better. It says it's categorized as bubblegum, pop, doo-wop, and retro R&B song. The song follows basic chord progression of A, B minor, E, A, invoking a throwback musical style of the 50s and 60s.
Yes, yeah, I feel that.
Critics noted influences from a variety of genres, including hip-hop, country, rock and roll. It also had a earworm hook, early 60s soul pop and groove influences, a scatting tempo, and shimmying melody, which that's, I don't know
that,
who wrote this. Right. Trainor delivers a hint of Caribbean reggae, which I said, in addition to a variety of background vocal and rapping techniques.
Yeah.
Wordless vocal ad-libs in the song's outro, blah, blah, blah. I don't need to worry about any of that. Vocals in this song have been compared to the harmonies of 1960 girl groups and vintage 50s singers like Betty Everett, Doris Day, and Rosemary Clooney.
Nice.
And I think you can hear kind of all of those influences in there, which is really interesting to me.
Yep.
And then there's a couple direct references, particularly Justin Timberlake.
Oh,
she references,
okay, thank you.
Yeah, if you know the song "Sexy Back," when he's like, yep, "Dirty babe," she does that.
Yep.
You know, I'm bringing booty back.
Yeah,
that's in your face. That's a straight up reference to it. And then One Republic, you know the song "All the Right Moves" by One Republic. All the right moves in all the right places.
Yep. Yep.
Oh yeah, we're going down. So that's, you know, she references that too.
I love them.
Yeah, that's a good one. So just one of those things where it sounds like such a simple song, but there's a lot more to it, and it's just a kick-ass dance song.
And the chorus of, you know, well, my mama, bop, you know, it's so different from the beginning, because you figure, okay, it's going to be a dance song, it's going to be something that's going to kind of continue with the bass kind of thing, but then all of a sudden she brings it into a very different genre. It's like, wow, that's nice. And then right back into the, and now it's all about the bass. But, you know, so back into the kind of dance beat kind of thing.
Yeah,
and,
for sure. Cool thing about that chorus, too. So there's this guitar, and you don't really hear it too much until the end. They continue to play the guitar
like
riff.
The Spanish influence.
It's like, I was going to say, what it makes me think of is Los Lonely Boys.
Yep.
How Far Is Heaven. That, and you combine it with something country like, it makes me think of It's 5 o'clock Somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
It sounds like that. That song as well.
It almost feels like a Spanish guitar or something that, you know, like a Spanish harlem or something like that. Yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. Especially at the end, it's a lot more prominent. I was going to mention that as well.
Yeah. And it's just, it sounds like Los Lonely Boys. And I had to, that's what I was looking up at the end. I had to, you know, look up, what's that? So how far is heaven?
Yeah.
That's what I hear in that. And not something you would expect to hear in a mainstream pop song in 2014.
But it all blends in so well when you think about it. So
yeah, I mean, there's just a lot of dynamics with the really tight, the rap part is super tight, and then the chorus is a lot more loose.
And yet, you think a lot of that's kind of been missed by people listening to it because they just kind of throw it out there as a pop song, as something to dance to.
Yeah, I think so. You know, I think it had a very
dances in 2014.
Yeah, but you know what? I mean, I still hear this song every once in a while. I can't think of how many other songs from 2014 I still hear fairly frequently. It's got some reason. It's got some staying power, I think it's because it is interesting, and I think it makes people feel good because it's positive body image and all that.
So one criticism, mm-hmm. I think it's probably one chorus too long.
Yeah,
so,
you know, it does sound like there needs to be something else in there.
Because the end is big, and where everyone jumps in, and all the different genres are all kind of mixed in, and it's a real strong beginning.
But she's doing the when she's not singing it straight up, you know, she's kind of embellishing it. She's doing the embellishments.
Yep.
Throughout that whole last chorus.
Because it's not a cappella anymore, just with the bass. I mean, that's strong. It's a great way to end it. But about three quarters of the way through the song, between chorus and regular vocals, back and forth, there's this like one, I think it's eight bars of it's all about the bass. Like, okay, not needed. Take that section out and go right into
that finishing
directly
section,
after it. And I think it's stronger. Who am I to say? I mean, it's a multi-million dollar, probably platinum single. And here I am, some guy in New Hampshire saying, oh, I think it has to be produced differently. But it just felt like that didn't feel like it fit as well.
Well, I think with almost every song I listen to that I really like, and, you know, I haven't listened to this one as much as a lot of these other songs, but a lot of songs that I really like, I do that. I'm like, I love the song, but I wish they had done this.
Yeah, right.
Because I would have enjoyed it more, but it's not my song, so it doesn't mean to me what it does to that person. And so maybe that section is something that she just really felt strongly she needed. You know, who knows? We don't know.
Yeah, or a producer put it in there to
break it up
for a length or whatever. We don't know, right?
Yeah,
right.
They might want to break it. And maybe it's because this will play better in a club if we break it up and bring that back.
But the reality is, who the heck are we and why do we have an opinion about it? And it's only what we think.
We are the hosts of the You're Not Listening podcast.
right. We are not
Clean out your ears and listen up.
We are not Meghan Trainor's producers, and she's probably happy about that right now.
But it's interesting how it's interesting how you can break this song up into certain chunks, like into parts. Like you have the rap part, you have the all about that bass part, then you have the rap part.
Yeah.
And then you have that little section, every inch of you is perfect from the bottom to the, which is, that's a great up and down the scale. Like that's good writing there too.
Yeah.
And then you have the chorus.
Yeah. Well, my mama, she told me. Yep. Right. And you know what?
Rearrange them any way you want. You got the same song.
But if it's not done well, it's going to sound like it's chunked out and it's not sound like it's going to flow together. Well.
Right. That's the thing is those chunks are all very different, but you put them together and they fit together so well.
It's
a well-crafted pop song, which there's a lot of them out there. You'd be surprised.
Yeah. And it's a great ending too, because of the, you know, they bring it all together, which again, I think is a pretty good formula.
Yeah. I have another pop, like bubblegum pop song that I'm going to do. And it's from like early 2000s. It's probably from like 2002 or 99, somewhere back there, where it's similar to this, where like she sings it straight up for like half the song. And then because she did that, she lays on the embellishments like crazy, which normally would be annoying. But because she sang it so straight up in the beginning, you like that, you know, you enjoy it. So that's another, it's going to be another episode, but I'm kind of excited to do that song. It'll be
so fun. Is this where I bring in another Christmas reference and say, reminds me a lot of a really good pop version that NSYNC did of Merry Christmas?
This doesn't remind me of that at all.
Because it's it's a really good, well-crafted pop song. It's a very different type of song than what
true.
You're talking
it
about.
It is a well-crafted.
But talk about like it's poppy and it's fun and all that stuff, and it works. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Again, yeah, Justin Timberlake reference as well. So, no, good choice.
Yeah,
good choice.
I just, you know, this song is rad. It's, you know, not too deep. It's pretty shallow. It's pretty on the nose. She literally lays out everything that she wants to say.
Yeah.
I don't
again,
like
great message,
like hey
great
that
message.
Photoshop is fake, you know? Like she's very blunt.
Yeah.
It's not a deep song, but it's a good message. It's really fun. It's a good dance song. and it's just, you know, good job. You made a good pop song.
Do you know the history of it? Did it have the kind of influence that one would hope with a lot of young girls around there just trying to feel better about themselves if they didn't have the same kind of, you know, Bobby body and all that stuff?
I don't know.
I would hope.
I don't know.
I don't know the history of it, but
yeah, I don't know. I didn't look into that.
Yeah.
I did go down a couple rabbit holes of reading some articles about her. There was a really interesting article that I read by I don't know if it was Kerrang or one of those online music magazines, and he interviewed her, but the article wasn't interview, question, answer. It was about his interview with her and how she carried herself and kind of how she showed. And she just sounds like one of those people that is so unapologetically herself.
Right.
You know,
has
like
it all together,
like I guess
confident.
she tripped over her feet when she was walking up and she's laughing at herself and she's like, you know, just being a real person. She didn't put on any fake persona, which I love that. I love when artists are like that.
Back to that reference that I had with the Crossroads program. That's the image I had of her, too, that she was just herself.
Yeah.
It's just like, great. It's not
normal
great.
Person.
Yep. Yeah.
Which is great. And, you know, I think my favorite thing about this song is when she delivers that line, every inch of you is perfect from the bottom to the top. I think that's a really cool delivery. It's a cool breakup in the song, just a short little, it's almost like a little coda.
And I
really like the way that she does that. And it, like, you didn't need that, but throwing it in makes the song more interesting.
Yeah. So if anybody were to go back and say, I'm going to do some predictions of Sean O'Loughlin's podcast lists, I don't think anybody would have either said it was going to have this or maybe Iggy Briggy High.
Right. But these songs are the perfect examples of why we're doing this podcast, because that song is going to be overlooked by millions and millions of people. And it was overlooked by me until I stumbled upon something that made me listen to it a little bit differently. And then I went back and I paid more attention to it. And I was like, this is a great song. I like, and I enjoy it now. And now
it wasn't a great song. It was rad.
It was rad. It's a rad song. But, you know, now when I go back, if it comes on the radio, like, now I'll listen to it and I'll enjoy it. Whereas before, if I heard it on the radio, I would just be like, ah, I don't need to listen to this pop crap. So that's, you know, that's why we do this show. I hope that some people know this song and maybe they didn't think that they liked it or they didn't think about it too much. And now that they've heard us talk about it a little, they'll go back and listen to it again and enjoy it.
And appreciate it in a different way.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Nice. Well done.
So that's what I got. Like I said, didn't get too deep with it. There's not a ton to talk about, but I wanted to put it on here because I had that experience of rediscovering it and realizing, oh, this is actually enjoyable to listen to. I now appreciate it more than I used to. And so I think other people can have that same experience. So I wanted to highlight it.
Right.
And it was recent, you know, so this happened to me like last week. So I didn't want to wait too long.
And didn't you have that kind of experience with another song, which is one of the main reasons why you wanted to kind of start this podcast, a Juice Newton song or something?
Oh, yeah. We'll talk about Juice Newton at some point.
Right.
Yeah. Angel in the Morning is a phenomenal song. And people, it's so wedged in with the cheese that it's just too bad.
Thanks for that visual.
Yeah.
Wedged in with the cheese.
Yeah. Just next time you watch Deadpool, pay really close attention to the music that's playing in the beginning. I mean, that's the song that's playing in the beginning.
Oh, is it? Okay.
And it's a really, it's phenomenal. The intro to that movie is really good.
And you had a difficult time kind of convincing people like, no, it's such a good song. We have to talk about it. Come on, God. Was that true?
I watched Deadpool when it came out. And I thought it was really funny in the beginning, the visuals that they were showing with that song playing, and obviously thought it was funny. But then about halfway through that intro, I was like, yeah, it's kind of a great song. And then again, I went back and listened to it, and
it's rad.
There's a lot to like about that song. Like I've said to other people, there's a reason it's been sampled in like a lot of songs.
Yeah.
So,
and it's also a reason why it was so big when it was out too.
Yeah. And so we'll talk about that for sure. I need to like really take some time to get ready for the Juice Newton episode. But that was kind of the thing that pushed me over the edge to like, let's do this podcast because I got to talk to people about this stuff.
Right. And
otherwise I look like a fool.
Especially a song like this one too, that a lot of people would just kind of glance past, but may think about it differently, not because of the conversation.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Well done.
All right. So that's all I got. Make sure you follow us on social media. That's right. Social media, the thing that we're all on, that we're all slaves to. We're on Facebook. Just search the name of the show. We don't post on there all the time, but we try to share some fun articles and little funny memes and stuff on there. So you might enjoy doing it. We'll also let you know when new episodes drop on there too. But we're on Twitter at YNL Podcast. We are on Instagram at YNL Podcast. And you can email us, ynlpodcast@gmail.com. It's all the same everywhere, so it's very simple. So make sure that you engage with us.
Yeah, thank you for the people who have engaged and have been reaching out and saying some nice things and kind of doing the work that we're trying to get the message out to have people here and stuff. We ask that and get people to respond. So please join that group and be part of it and kind of join the community.
Yeah, and I said this in the last episode. If you have a song that just like hits you in the feels and you need to express to someone why you love it, this is the perfect outlet for that. So like get on your phone, open the voice memo app and record yourself doing it, telling that story, and then email it to us, ynlpodcast@gmail.com. Oh no, you know what? It's not ynlpodcast@gmail.com. Whoa. It's not. It's notlisteningpod@gmail.com.
Okay.
ynlpodcast was not available for that. So it's notlisteningpod@gmail.com. Send us your recordings and, maybe we'll play some on the show. Who knows?
Yeah.
That'd be pretty cool.
Well, it's cool that we're also connecting with all these other people in the Twitterverse as well. So more and more podcast folks are kind of chiming in, and they have some really good suggestions and good input too. So
thanks
for the input. And also, you know, shout out to all you guys. Thanks for connecting with us.
Yeah. When you hear these bumper reels for other podcasts, other music podcasts, you know, we're not part of Wondery or Podcast One. Like, we're not part of an official podcast network. Like, we have no obligation to run these ads during our show. We do it because these are great people that we talk to on a regular basis. I mean, we have this massive group chat going that we talk to all day every day, and they're just really good shows and we think you'd enjoy them, so that's why we share them with you. So so please
really
check them out, subscribe to their shows, subscribe to us, leave us ratings and reviews, and keep spreading the love. All right. Awesome. So thank you so much and talk to you next time.
See ya.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.